verse number 14. There the Bible says, and it does matter what the Bible says. It's nothing we have to vote about. The Bible is still right and relevant in this day and this hour. So let's stand this morning and honor the reading of the Word of God, found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26. I'll read three verses, then you can be seated. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, "What will you give me?" I preached on Bible questions, Brother Chuck, for nearly a year one time. I didn't deal with that question. I didn't see it. It's a great question, isn't it? What will you give me? And I'll deliver him unto you. And they covenanted it, or they made a deal with him for 30 pieces of silver. From that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. You may be seated this morning. Father, we are in a sacred text today. Oh God, how we sense your presence. And Lord, I'm a needy preacher. I'm tired today. I pray you'd help me to be a blessing. God, I pray that you let the Word of God go out and touch our hearts and do that only what you can do. Lord, we need you. This is just not a building where we come together to see each other, but we come here to magnify you and worship you, to hear your Word, to love one another and pray for one another, and to help us in our lives. God, you've been real good at being God, and I thank you that you're a God that you do and you exceed above all that we would ever ask or think. You're that kind of God, and thank you that you're my God this morning. Help these people now. Thank you for being faithful to this ministry, and thank you for the ones that have set their time today to be at the house of God. Would you touch us now? Help our nation. We sure do need you. God, give our president wisdom. Help Israel. Help all our missionary families and our preacher friends that are standing around this country today. Thank you for these two families that have joined, united with this church. I pray you'd bless them. I thank you for them. Pray you'd protect them and help us today. If there'd be one here lost, I pray you'd save them this morning. In Jesus' name I ask you. Amen. And amen. Jesus and Judas. We'll preach on this simple subject today, on making a deal with the devil. On what's your price? What's your price? We see a price negotiated in verse 15. Then one of the 12, isn't that amazing? He was in the inner circle. He was with Peter, James, and John, and many others. And here's a man that comes on the pages of our Bible that's been working behind the scenes now. He's walked with the Lord for some 3 years. Some say 3.5. But he's in the inner circle, and he goes to the chief priest, and he said to him, "What will you give me, and I'll deliver him unto you?" And they bargained with him for 30 pieces of silver. The price negotiated. Watch this. Look at the pursuit of it. Verse 15, he went unto them. They didn't come to him, but he went to make the deal to sell out Jesus. You know, the devil is as a roaring lion. Young families, young people, the devil is real. Last week, I was in Montgomery in the state institutions there preaching in prison. So many times, the devil will show you a pretty picture, but he don't show you the end of the story. The devil is seeking whom he may devour. Families, everybody on this pew this morning, we have an enemy. We have an enemy of the flesh, the world, and the devil. And the devil is walking about seeking whom he may devour. So we must realize that these temptations come to everybody. The devil even came to Jesus and tempted him with that great temptation on that mountain. So here, Judas no doubt has been tempted behind the scenes, and he gives into it. But he goes as a pursuit, "What will you give me?" And then verse 15, not only a pursuit, but you find there's a pledge, "And I will deliver him unto you." And then in verse 15, not only do we see this pursuit and this pledge, but now we see a price. He set a price on what he would sell Jesus for. The Bible said that he coveted him with him for 30 pieces of silver. You know, he had a very low value for Jesus. We get to thinking as high as silver and gold is today. But he had a very low value of Jesus, 30 pieces of silver, that of just what a common slave would be sold for on the auction block in those days. I've noticed this, that Judas was a man that he loved money. He loved money a lot more than he loved Jesus. He loved the things of the world. We must be careful that we keep our value on Jesus, that there's not a price that can be offered that we would sell him for. And certainly in John's Gospel 12, I want you to watch this a little bit about Judas. We'll try to show you some things about him today, but about this price he coveted with him for 30 pieces of silver. He loved money. Let me tell you something. Money don't send anybody to hell, just like liquor don't send anybody to hell. Disbelief sends us to hell. And so in John's Gospel, chapter number 12, I want you to notice this passage. He said, Then Jesus, six days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him, with Jesus. Watch Mary now. I love her. You'd love going to church with her. You religious people wouldn't like Mary in the audience because she'd embarrass you. She done something, wasn't on the program. Aren't you glad you can go to church where it's not a program? We sort of know what we're going to do, but we're going to mind the Lord. The Bible said, then took Mary a pound of ointment, a spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus. Wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Boy, aren't you glad when somebody worships, it fills the house. Then saith one of his disciples, here's our character, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him. It's not happened yet, but the Scripture's already got it nailed down, what he's going to do out of his heart. Can I tell you, there's nothing takes God by surprise. He knows us from the top to the bottom, from the inside to the outside. Look what he said. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Why are you wasting that on Jesus? This he said, watch, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. And he had the bag. He kept their money. And bear what was put therein. I love what Jesus said. Let her alone. Yes, the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always. He said, Judas, I'm special. I'm going to Calvary. And this woman realizes that I'm the Savior, and she's poured precious ointment upon me. Can I tell you that Jesus appreciated what Mary was doing, but he did not appreciate what Judas said. For the Bible said that he was a thief. He didn't care about the poor. I've noticed about people wanting to help people in church. It's not that they give about the poor. They're so self-centered about their money. Let me tell you, it ain't your money. When you put it in the collection plate, it's God's money. And to God be the glory. Let it go around the world and share the gospel to every creature. So anytime you hear folks thinking that you're doing too much for Jesus about money, they may be a Judas. Somebody say amen. So here the price is bargaining for 30 pieces of silver. He had a low value for Jesus. The Bible said in Mark 8 and 36, I had Renee look this up last night when I was studying. I needed her to find this text for me. I wrote it down in Mark 8 and 36. I've got a new Bible. I didn't have it marked, but you ought to mark it in yours. Jesus said, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? He had a very low value for Jesus. 30 pieces of silver. I've seen people sell him for a lot less price. Hurt feelings. Let me ask y'all something. Don't you think if you go into a church where the Word of God is preached and good people are there and fellowship's going, don't you think the devil's going to try to knock you out of that place? Tickles me how people get their feelings hurt at church. don't come back, but they get their feelings hurt down Walmart, and they'll be back down there next Friday and Saturday and Sunday evening. This morning, we must realize the price negotiated. What is your price? Really, what is your price? And I've noticed this about the devil. Be careful to not name your price, because the devil will be sure that you get it. I've heard a lot of people, I'll serve God if I can keep this. I'll serve God if you'll do this. What if he don't? Then you put a price and the devil knows it. So the price negotiated. Secondly, the privilege neglected. How sad for a man to die and go to hell in this kind of environment. Can you imagine being with Peter, James, and John? Could you imagine being on the Sea of Galilee in the boat, and the storm comes up and Jesus spoke, said, "Peace be still," and there was a great calm? Could you imagine as Jesus made them all sit down and he fed the 5,000? You know, that reminds me this morning, you can be in the right company, you can be in the right atmosphere, you can even be on a church pew and die and go to a devil's hell. Privilege neglected. Verse number 20 of our text in Matthew 26. Turn there. I'll be there now. Matthew 26, verse number 20. I want you to notice this. "Now when the evening was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. They were exceedingly sorrowful, and began every one of them to say," look what they said, "Lord, is it I?" Everybody seemed to be saved. Everybody seemed to be close. They are together. And when Jesus said, "One of you shall betray me," they answered and said, "Lord, is it I?" Jesus answered. You know why Jesus answered? Because he's got all the answers. "He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not even been born." Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, "Master, is it I?" And he said unto him, "Thou hast said." Thou hast said. Verse 20, this privilege neglected. Look at his companionship. He is with the 12. It'd be so sad if you belonged to a church like this, ride a church pew to hell. That'd be so sad. His companionship. Verse 21, this privilege that was neglected, he had conviction. As the Lord said this, he said, "Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me." There was conviction that set in. Watch, they were exceedingly sorrowful, and began every one of them to say, "Lord, is it I?" A great privilege is that you get under conviction. Matter of fact, you'll never get saved unless you realize you're a sinner. I sure am glad God dealt with me one day and I became convicted of who I was and seen who He was. You better thank the Lord that He's convicted your heart. And so here, this privilege neglected. Look what he neglected. He neglected companionship. He neglected conviction. Then verse 23, he even neglected a confirmation. He answered and said, "He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me." Then in verse 24, Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, "Master, is it I?" And he said unto him, "Thou hast said." Let me ask you, why didn't he turn then and say, "Lord, I know that you're headed to Calvary, and I know that you love me. I've seen you do all these miracles." I ask you, why didn't Judas's heart turn to the Lord? Because he thought more of Judas than he did Jesus. The price negotiated, the privilege neglected. Then thirdly, the plot navigated. Judas had a plot. In verse 47, I've noticed something. Once you start with the devil, it's hard to get off his trail. Once you open that door, young people, it's hard to get the door closed. So the best advice I can give to every young person today, don't never crack the door open. Because if you ever crack the door open, the devil will put his foot in it. It's hard to get the door closed. You'll get to messing with drugs and you won't leave them alone, but it's a problem. They won't leave you alone. I've been there and wore that t-shirt and know what I'm preaching this morning. Be careful you don't crack the door open. It's hard to get it closed. So Judas starts playing around with the devil, gets playing around with spiritual things, playing around with his soul, and the devil, just like he's got a hook in his nose, he's leading him to a bad place. Plot navigated. We find it in verse 47 of our text. While he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came with him with a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And look what Jesus says in verse 50. Jesus said to him, Friend. There's nobody like Jesus, y'all. He didn't say, You thug. You piece of trash. But he said, Friend. There's nobody never loved me like Jesus. There's nobody never loved Judas like Jesus. We see this plotted. He goes, verse 47, you'll find he was amongst soldiers. Some said there were some 500, 350 to 500 soldiers went with him that night in this great plot. Then, not only the soldiers in 47, there's the scheme in 48. Now, he that betrayed him gave him a sign. He said, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same as he, hold him fast. Not only do we see his scheme, but we see the signal. The Bible said in verse 49, he came to Jesus, said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. This is a Greek word. Does it mean this? It means kissing all over his whole neck and his head. He was consumed with kisses from Judas. But wouldn't that be bad to die and go to hell that close to Christ? Verse 49, look at the salutation. He came to Jesus and he said, Hail, Master! In other words, he recognized him as Master in front of everybody. But it wasn't in his heart, it was just in his head. How pitiful. Verse 50, there's the shame of it. Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus. Took him. Isn't it amazing? Jesus chose him to be one of the 12. I think a lot of times Jesus chose him and put this passage in our Bible to make us all realize you can have all the Sunday school badges. You can have all the trophies, the accolades of what you've accomplished in religion, but it's not going to help you none. He didn't have a personal experience with the Lord Jesus. And I think Jesus has allowed this passage to be before us not only to warn us, but also to encourage us. I want to say something right here. Judas is one of the people that been in church a long time, got out, turned their back on God, and put a blight on the church. But what about them 11 that didn't? You know, people, when you look in the stars in the sky, people only talk about the star that has fallen. What about all them that stayed there? Let me tell you something. There's a lot of hypocrites. Don't let a hypocrite let you die and go to hell.
Well, I won't go to that church. I seen them at the liquor store. Well, I'm going to say something right here, and some of you might not like it. They may be saved, and God just ain't took it out of their life yet. Shake your little Baptist head up and down. You've done some things. I doubt if you want to get up in front of everybody and tell what you've done this week and last week. Oh, I'm just keeping preaching real. I'm just saying, even in my life, thank God for when I have fallen, Brother Randall, and got away from the Lord, places that I didn't need to be, that people helped me get back to where I needed to be. We all can make a mistake. But those that turn their back on God and walk off and have never been saved and said they was a member of the church, you're going to say, well, look at that rascal. Don't look at that rascal. Look at Jesus. Can I get a hand wave from you this morning? Would everybody just hand wave at me? Look at Jesus. I've heard that excuse a lot. Well, they go down there and live to the better church and live like the devil. Well, you ought to not live like the devil. You ought to let your light shine. But what people don't understand is that even though we're saved, we got this flesh and we're human and we all can make a mistake. And I'm not going to throw you on the bus. Now, there's some here throw you on the bus, but they liable to step out one morning and it be out of gear and it roll over them. Plot navigated. Isn't that sad? You see how kind Jesus is. He's so kind. Called him friend, you know. Jesus used one of them neverthelesses right there, didn't he? Friend. He's a friend of sinners. And I don't care what you've done or how long you've been doing it, Jesus can forgive you of it. What about the prophecies? All the way to the back of the book of Psalms, it was prophesied about this event. You don't have to turn there. I'm about done preaching, but I found it last night. I want to give it to you. David wrote about it. He said, yeah, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which he did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. Even back in David's time, there was a prophecy, Brother Randall, that Judas was going to betray Jesus. You say, well, preacher, I want to ask you something. Could Judas have got saved? He sure could have. Absolutely. For God sent his son to die for the sins of the whole wide world. Plot navigated. But now then, look at the punishment noted. Look what happens to him. And I'm done preaching. Matthew 27. The Bible says in verse number 1, when the morning was come. Boy, what a night that had to be in with Judas. Have you ever had God dealing with you about something and you didn't get take care of it before you went to bed? And I've noticed something about God, if he lives in us. When we wake up, it's right there in the bed with us. And I don't know about y'all, but I don't like laying down like that. I want to get everything handled before I go to bed. Matter of fact, if I know some of y'all was messed up and crossed up with me, I'd be at your house before I went to bed. I'd say, what's your issue? I don't want to lay down with it. It's bad to lay down when you've done something wrong and you know that God is going to give you an account one of these days and you're going to have to step up for what you've done. The punishment notice when the morning was come. That had to have been a long night with Judas. All the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus and put him to death. And when they'd bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. He's headed to Calvary now. He's fixing to die for the sins of the world. Look what happens. Then Judas, which had betrayed him when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself. He didn't repent to Jesus. You know what this means? He is sorry he got caught. It's a big difference in being sorry about your sin and sorry that you got caught. My daddy used to catch me in things, Brother David.
I wasn't really sorry I done them. I was sorry I got caught. Because in the country, you got whoopings in them days. Wasn't none of them timeouts. He'd take time out to tear the back porch down with you. But it kept me out of jail. Had some bruises. Look what he said, verse 4. I've sinned in that I've betrayed the innocent blood. And look what this crowd told him. Young people, this is exactly the way the world will treat you. What is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Price negotiated. What's your price? Be careful. Don't put a price on Jesus. The devil will be sure that he pays you. The privilege neglected. Look what a privilege he's got. And I want to say this. These little kids come and give him their money every morning. Look what a privilege that they have that many of you never had. They can be around a church that loves one another where Christ is exalted and the Bible still preached. Look what kind of privilege they've got to be raised up in. That's a great privilege this morning. The price, the privilege, the plot, but now the punishment. Verse 3, there's the despair of sin, the realization of his guilt. Guilt's a bad thing. But you know, I sure am glad when guilt comes. You know, before I got saved, it's a lot different. Brother Wallace, when I got saved and God moved in my life, as a matter of fact, everybody here that's saved, God lives inside of you. If he don't live inside of you, you're not saved. That's what the Bible teaches. The Spirit lives in us now. The Spirit of Jesus. The Spirit of God. But now this guilt. Aren't you glad that he says if we'll confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness? I'm glad the blood of Jesus can wash us all clean this morning. This punishment, the despair, and then look at the disgrace of it. Look at the disappointment of it. That he sold to Jesus, he threw it down. But he threw it down too late. Here's a step that happened where a lot of theologians say where things could have changed, and I believe it could have changed. He said he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple, departed, went and hanged himself. The Bible tells us something in the book of Acts about this instance. There on the day of Pentecost, as Peter gets up to preach, he says something that alludes to this text. He's telling them they're fixing to replace Judas. The Bible says that they appointed two. And they prayed and said, Lord, thou knowest the hearts of all men, that it may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, and that he might go to his own place. Where is Judas? He died and went to hell. Why? Because in John's Gospel, chapter number 6, he expressly says Judas never believed. He said, there's some of you here that believe not. And Judas speaks up and he confirms it. So I come to tell you this morning, you can often be by the Lord's side, but never on the Lord's side. You can often be by the Lord's side, never on the Lord's side. Miss Jennifer, would you come this morning? Play me something on the instrument. Making a deal with the devil, what's your price? I think that this modern church age, we We hear a lot about the inadequacy of the social gospel, religion that's external. Well, preacher, listen. I've been a member of the church for years. Ain't gonna get you to heaven. Preacher, I've taught Sunday school. Ain't gonna get you to heaven. You must be born again, is what Jesus said. Now, the Bible said that he went out and hanged himself and his bowels gushed out. That's what the Bible says. I was reading one of the writers, Brother Ty, last night, and he said, this is probably what happened. He said he left that meeting. Instead of falling on his face and crying out to Christ, the devil convinced him it'd be easier to take his life. He went, throwed a rope over the tree and hanged himself, and he probably stayed there a few days. Nobody found him. Did he become in a state that was so pitiful that when they cut him down, he hit the ground, he bursted? You say, preacher, that's pretty gory. Wish I could make it a whole lot more gory. I wish you could realize that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, we ought not preach that to my kids. Let me tell you something. There's a heaven to gain. There's a hell to shun. In this social gospel, you just say this prayer, say this little word, and life never changes. Bible salvation is repentance by faith, turning from your sin and trusting Christ out of your heart. Oh, we all make mistakes. I wish I could tell you I've arrived, but I hadn't. Brother David, Brother Tim, I'd be a whole lot better preacher. The day I got saved, God saved my flesh. I'd been a lot better preacher. But yet, Landon, maybe I wouldn't be a better preacher. Maybe I could realize the faults that I have and how good he is so I could tell y'all if he's got me through it, he can get you through it. Some of you that are roofer, I don't know what you experience. I've never roofed. I know it's hard, but I know what it is to be a failure with Christ. I know what it is to lay down with sin in my life and get up with it in there in the morning. And I also know to tell you that when I confessed it and got rid of it, it sure was a whole lot better the next night. Miss Jennifer, you play. I want to open this altar this morning. Maybe you're here and you've never been saved. Would you come? Maybe you're here this morning, you need some help. Would you come? Jesus loves you. He said, friend. Glad he is my friend. Judas could have got saved, but he thought more of Judas than he did Jesus. He died for you. Don't step out in eternity trusting the crowd you've been in, the accolades you've received. For only knowing God's Son is going to get you to heaven. Don't let a hypocrite get you out of church. Don't let a hypocrite make you make a bad decision. Jesus loves you. Maybe there's somebody here today, you've never been saved. You want to be. He loves you today. Friend, he'll take you just as you are. Save you by grace through faith. That's the Bible. It had to have been a long night for Judas. Brother Mike, I never seen that though, just preaching then. That had to be a terrible night. But he had to face his sin. I'm glad I won't have to face mine. Jesus faced it for me and saved me. Thank you for your attention this morning.